Good afternoon.
This is Carolyn Evers on a marvelous Sunday afternoon. Just delighted to be here. And delighted that you're out there listening to me, whether it's live, where you can call in and ask your questions, or whether you're just sitting there listening to the archives, which we welcome both. Today, I want to talk a little bit about ascension, about enlightenment, about raising kundalini. You know, these are things that we talk about today, and in a sense, could just be words. But I'd like to go back in history a little bit. Ascension is not new, though we might think that it's new, but let's look back a little bit on the history in Egypt. The temples that were built along the Nile, mostly, were places of initiation. They had teachers. Each temple had a specific purpose for teaching the initiate, and so the initiate either passed the test or they died. Like one of the temples, for instance, you had to swim between crocodiles to get from one place to another, and maybe they made it, maybe they didn't. Egyptians knew that that initiate would reincarnate, and it was all about eliminating fear. I think if I had to face a crocodile, I might have a little bit of fear since I was on their turf, but when their teacher thought they were ready, they did the swim, and they ended up at the Pyramid of Cheops, where we all know that there's a place in the king's chamber that looks like a coffin. And what I would like to say is in that pyramid was a standing wave. It was a tool of ascension. And so the initiate went through all of these positions through the different temples. And for those of you who know some of the ancient stories, and if you've read Anna, grandmother of Jesus, it explains in there how Jesus also took the grand tour of the Egyptian temples and finished up at Cheops. Now let's come forward a little bit to this remarkable journey that the pilgrims took during the Middle Ages. And I'm going to direct your attention to the time of the great cathedral building. And let's talk a little bit about the ground beneath these magnificent Gothic cathedrals. There was a very specific purpose for building the cathedrals on those places, and it wasn't a case that the Catholic Church chose those places. These places were chosen primarily through the work of the Templars. That is not really great public knowledge, but it is the information that they came back with when they went to took that trip to Jerusalem and dug down in the chambers underneath of Solomon's temple. They got a great deal of information. And as you are aware, if you're interested in history, when they came back, this great building of Gothic cathedrals began. Now, these cathedrals are built on ancient Druidic holy spots. Okay, the Druids could see energy. They understood energy. And these were places that were held sacred to them. Many of these places have underground water streams, and some people call this energy that is being carried at inside of the earth underneath of these places telluric places. And of course, these are in France that we're talking about mostly, and in England, they're known as the Mary Michael lines. They're both the same. And the Druids understood this, and they understood the value of this energy, this electric magnetic energy that's pulsing underneath of the earth, and how the cosmic energies from outer space would come to these places and make a dynamic, and I must say this as I am looking at this, a dynamic standing wave, the same that can be utilized as those who utilized it in the Pyramid of Cheops. And so there was a progression. And they had teachers there also who taught them, who prepared them, who prepared the physical so that when they went to these different churches, instead of being Egyptian temples, these were Gothic cathedrals. And the initiate was prepared, and they did these journeys, and they were not easy during those times. Didn't catch a plane. Didn't even catch a stagecoach. Many of them walked, and there were long journeys because the beginning of the journey was in Spain, the Cathedral of St. James at Compostela. This was the moon oracle of the ancient Druids. And so that, what you opened, was the very first chakra, the base chakra. And when the initiate was ready, when they had been prepared and they had worked with those energies and they had opened that particular chakra, the next part of the journey would be Notre Dame in Toulouse, which would be the southern part of France. They would have maybe not done this all in 1 year. They probably couldn't have. But that would have been the next journey or the next stop. And that was the Mercury Oracle. Now, when I talk about the moon, the Mercury, or the Venus, these were the understandings of the Druids. And, of course, in the Middle Ages, these were considered Catholic cathedrals, so they didn't use that terminology. However, that would have been the next chakra that would have been opened. How long it took an initiate in the Middle Ages to go through this line of different cathedrals, I really don't know, because it would have depended on certain things, how they prepared themselves. Surely the finances that they had to even be able to make this journey. And also, if they survived, this would have been a dangerous journey during the Middle Ages. Robbers would have been on the road, you know, a type of highwayman. Anyone who appeared to have any kind of funds of any sort would have been at the mercy of those who would rob them. Also, it was a period of the serfs where many people were tied to the land. So this would have been a journey for wealthy people who had protection, who had the finances to be able to take this journey. But more than that, the understanding of what they were about. And so after they went to Notre Dame at Toulouse, they would have taken a step higher in or towards the north. They are making an alternate journey towards Rosslyn Chapel. But then the next one would have been Orléans Cathedral. That was the Venus Oracle. And from there, Chartres Cathedral, the Sun Oracle, because that was the Cathedral of the Heart. That was opening up the heart chakra. All of these other cathedrals, the initiate would be opening up all of the chakras below the heart, the lower chakras, and Chartres Cathedral, most magnificent. Visitors who go there don't really understand what that place is all about. The spires on top of the cathedral are just as high as the water that's in the well beneath that. And so when the initiate stands in the doorway, the electromagnetic energy comes through the stream of water, up through the body, and the cosmic energies come down through the spire on the cathedral, and it meets in the heart chakra. The initiate had to be prepared. They had to know what they were about. And then the sacred work inside of the cathedral, they made a journey on the interior, and they would have a walk to the configuration that is in the center of the cathedral, also a most magnificent place. They would also have gone beneath the cathedral in the crypt there. When I was there, fascinatingly, I had seen a flower of life there. So that was etched in the very basement. People understood what the flower of life meant, the creative process of all life itself. And so the next would have been Notre Dame in Paris, the Mars Oracle, Ames Cathedral, the Jupiter Oracle, and they would have opened all of the chakras, worked with the chakras until the very last Rosalind Chapel, Saturn Oracle. How many ascended? I have no way of knowing. But indeed, this journey, as the journey in Egypt, was an ascension tool. So it took a great deal of study, a great deal of determination, perhaps many years out of an individual's life, great finances, great determination. How many ascended? I don't know. I do know that some of the Templars, when they were persecuted, they actually ascended. They ascended, some of them who were not ready for ascension, they fled, they were captured, but those who were ready did ascend. So there were some of the brothers in the Templars who were able to set aside their earthly life here and move up through the dimensions because they knew how. So that is the story of what people had to do in the past. It was a great journey. Now, my friends, I would like to tell you about ascension today. We don't have to go through visiting all of these temples. We don't have to have the instructor to teach us the process. And the difference between Egypt, the difference even if we went back from Atlantis to Egypt to the Middle Ages to today, the difference, my friend, is the energy that is here. We are being bathed by the energy from the Eye of Isis. This has been taught to us by Archangel Michael as he has come to our conference calls with the information that he has given us and the meditations that he has given to us as we attend the conference calls. We have learned these things. 1987A, there was information that came to Earth in the form of a supernova. Happened 200,000 years ago, but the energy fragments just started to hit Earth. And this is part of the reason why we have been going through this purging in the body. And many of us have had to work with clearing negativity from our past lifetimes. We have felt lethargic, or we have felt bodily complaints, and it is because of this energy that is coming through. It is changing the cellular level from the carbon cells to the crystalline cells. Work is being done on the electrical system inside of our body. Our brain is being rewired. The right side is being connected to the left side, and across the third eye, more strands are being laid down so that we are able to receive the spiritual information and to internalize it and work with it. So all of this we are being taught by Yeshua, by Archangel Michael, by Master Kasumi. A most remarkable thing happened in January. The standing wave was brought to Earth in the form of energy that Archangel Michael, Master Kasumi, and Yeshua brought to those who were on the telephone conference. And the next time we worked with that, the energy from the standing wave was brought to the subtle body. We were told that it couldn't bring this energy directly to the physical immediately because it would be too much for the body to endure, because it was clearing the toxins from the body. A lot of changes were being made by this. And then we will have another lesson next month during the month of April, where Archangel Michael will teach us how to bring this energy from the subtle body to the physical body. And he tells us this is an ascension tool. We don't have to make these journeys. This is all possible now because of this new energy that is coming to the planet through this supernova. Now, if you are following some of the information, the esoteric information that is coming from the scientists in Russia, they are telling us about the changes that are happening, not just on planet Earth. You know, we're aware of ice caps melting and so forth, but this energy is coming from outside of our planetary system. The other planets in our solar system are changing. If you do some of the research, you'll find some of that information. And what we have been told is Neptune is going through great changes, and so it is this energy coming through from outer space, passing through the different planets, coming to our sun in the sunspot activity, and it is being deposited upon our planet and upon the people's DNA. So all of this is a remarkable change. So this was the first thing I wanted to discuss. And before we go to some other topics, I welcome your phone calls. Our phone number here is a toll-free number, 877-876-5227. So you can call about some of the information that we have given now, or you might have a question that you want me to go to the Universal Akashic Records in the center of the cosmos. Since I do work with the cherubim, they are the ones who hold all of our records. If you go to my website, carolyneverse.com, there is a section there about the Akashic Records, and in that it explains the different deposits of Akashic Records. First of all, it starts in our own physical body. What we do has been recorded, and it is in our etheric, a subtle body that surrounds the physical. So that's the first place. And it gradually, all of the, you might say it's generated there, and it moves up through the different deposits until it reaches the center of the cosmos. So there's a very interesting story there that describes how all of that works. Also, you might be interested in the story there about the Templars, that it has been revealed these were cherubim angels. The original, I'm not saying all the Templars, but the original ones that began the order have been or had been incarnating since the very beginning at Mardak. They came then to Atlantis when that was destroyed and had been incarnating all those times until they reincarnated in the Middle Ages as those first Templars that went to get that information. But then they knew about it because they were living on the telluric lines that we were talking about. Living on a telluric line from the time that you were born until the time that you became an adult developed the physical greatly. They were able to read the records. They knew that they had to go to Jerusalem and bring forth the deposit of information that they needed. And you see, these were great knights. They attracted people who were very religiously oriented because this was a very sacred trust to them to be working on this ascension project and to be building these Gothic cathedrals. They also were working for the light in the sense that they were working, trying to defend people. Now, this was in the very beginning, and of course it evolved to other things, and we're not really here to give the history of the Templars, but they were very much involved in this. And that information comes from the Akashic records. I find, now I'm going to go to another topic. Please give us a call if you have a comment, if you want some information from your own record. The toll-free number here is 877-876-5227. What I usually do when I see a newspaper article that I find very fascinating, I'll cut the article out, and then I'll go to the Akashic Records because I'm intrigued about something to find an answer. And I was very fascinated about the fact that archaeologists were working with NASA about finding some clues of an ancient civilization. And they're talking about the Maya civilization in South America. And I was very fascinated by that because I had was on a trip into that area and realized that at one time that was a great society. And so this scientist was looking at some pictures. He's an archaeologist, William Saturno, and he was looking at some pictures that had come back that NASA had, that had come back from some satellites, and he could see what he thought was indications of ancient Mayan civilization. And so what he did is he started going to the places that were showing up on the images, and lo and behold, he did find underneath of the jungle canopy the ruins. Interesting, I think, that we can find these kinds of artifacts by our current sciences. imagine the satellite going around and picking out the temples for our archaeologists. So Mr. Sertano was wondering if the fact that the Mayans had cleared away so much of the jungle, because what he was finding is that around these centers where there were a lot of people, that a lot of the land had been cleared, a lot of the jungle had been cleared for agriculture, and they had made giant reservoirs for water, to collect water because they had dry spells. And so the Mayans had cut down a lot of the trees, a lot of the jungle, for their own living, for their agriculture. And what this particular scientist is studying is, did they cause their own demise? And, of course, the reason that he feels that this is of interest is because presently we are cutting down great swaths of the jungle. If you're familiar with what is going on in the Amazon and other areas, you know that so much of the surface of the planet, the trees are being cut down. And so he is studying that, and the fact is that raising temperatures. So I went to the records because I was intrigued with that whole question. Since I had been in this area, matter of fact, my tour director were natives of the land, and they told me that the Mayans really weren't decimated, that they simply moved away into the jungles. So my question was, of the cherubim records in the Akashic records, did the Maya cause their civilization to collapse because they cleared such large parts of the jungle? And what was in the records was this, that yes, clearing a lot of the trees, deforestation will raise the temperature of the planet. However, the Mayans did not destroy enough of the jungle to destroy their civilization. And I have a caller, and your name?
Nancy.
Hi, Nancy.
Hi. How are you?
We're great, Nancy. What can we do for you, dear?
Well, last time I called, you had mentioned something about a self-esteem issue, and I had mentioned that, you know, I'd been working on that my whole life. And I just wanted to know if you would check the records to give me any information that can be given to me right now about that, if there's further things for me to do.
Well, when did you call? Was that on a Sunday when I was doing this show, or was it on a Wednesday?
It was on a Wednesday,
mm-hmm.
because it was regarding some health issues. But as I was talking, because there was several intermingling kind of issues that were all kind of coming back to the same issue, and you had mentioned something about self-esteem. So, and that has been an issue throughout my life, and so I just thought, well, if she's picking up on something, then maybe there's, you know, further information.
I'll be glad to go to the records and get some information for you, Nancy, but one of the things, in addition to that, what I would suggest that you do is call back on Wednesday when Charlene is here, where she can actually clear that for you.
Oh, well, see, I think that's what she was doing, but I don't know what part she cleared and what she didn't, you know, because I mentioned several, like I said, intermingling issues.
Right.
So I just
wanted to... a lot of our problems do seem to come from several different issues, don't they?
Uh-huh.
It's not so simple where it's just one thing that kind of overlap with another. How is this, because I have to have the question to research, and the question I have to formulate in such a way that would be most helpful to you.
Yeah.
Now, you're stating that you have some self-esteem issues. Are they holding you back from fulfilling something that you want to do?
I'm not conscious of any further self-esteem issues, but you had mentioned that you were picking up on something, so I wanted to know if the self-esteem is still holding me back.
basically. Oh, well, you know, Charlene could have cleared that, but so that's why I'm asking you if self-esteem issues are holding you back from, say, obtaining something that you want, either on a job or in personal life.
Yeah, well, I'm not certain, but I feel kind of like sometimes I feel like a car that's carburetor is clogged. I feel this real forward, like I need to move forward and I need to really kind of get myself out there. Then I'll feel like, and I didn't know whether it was self-esteem or if it's past life.
Have something else here in addition to that. Now, when you say move forward to get out there, are you working on a particular job of a profession? Are you working along those lines?
Well, no, I do energy healing work, and I do a lot of emotional clearing work. I live in an area that's not really open to those things, you know, in a big way. I tried to get out there before, and it was maybe a little bit early, but at the beginning of January, I was feeling like, okay, you know, maybe it's time to start moving out there. But then some things will come up, they'll go, no, it's not time. So I don't know whether
this doesn't sound. You know what this sounds like to me is like you wish to move forward and things with your energy work, with your healing, and things are happening that is kind of blocking you. Does that sound?
Yes, and I just want to know if it's my, you know, my issue or whether it's still a past life thing or whether, you know, it's just not time yet or, you know.
You know, a lot of what we're doing or hope to do there is an issue of timing.
Oh, certainly,
Now, you say energy work. What kind of energy work are you doing, Nancy?
Well, for about 6 years, I went to training to learn to do reconnective healing and the reconnection. And I've done, a small amount of those, but not very many.
Well, how do you reconnect this with people? I'm trying to figure out, understand how you work with a client.
It's mostly hands-off work, but I do hands-on healing also.
Mm-hmm.
I also do some emotional clearing work that takes people into a deep meditative state to go back to, you know, where the issues, you know, were sourced from. And
well, is this the sort of thing you can do on the radio?
Possibly, but, you know, it's just, you know, not knowing. You know, it's that I haven't got that real clear signal that it's.
Well, I tell you what, I'll see what I can find out in the records, and I would suggest to you, why not join me on a show one time? Do a little bit of practice with the public. What does that sound like?
It sounds good.
Well, I tell you what, Nancy, you send me a little note so that I have your email address. And we'll have you on a show one time.
Okay. Okay.
And you can flap your wings.
Okay.
Okay. What I'm going to do is check your records and see if we can find something from the point of view if this is a case of timing and perhaps mission. Now, the work that you are doing, do you have a sense of the direction that you're going in? Because I'd rather have a rather general aspect of this.
I sort of do, and you know, it's just I when I do hands-on work, it seems to be extremely effective as far as physical healing.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't done too many of the the clearing sessions, because I haven't had too many takers. I do feel like that at some point in the future that I will be speaking to groups of people about something. I do channeling.
not quite sure, but you're going to be talking about something.
Yeah,
huh?
Well, you know, sometimes when I just open myself up, mm-hmm. People are asking me about their issue. I just give stuff for them, and I go, whoa, where'd that come from?
That's the beginning of trust.
Yeah.
When people start with their healing work, it is a real, we are thinking, the ego thinks from the reasoning, logical side, and the spiritual work does not come from that side of the brain. It comes from the other side of the brain. And what I have found, Nancy, is people start to do their spiritual work, and then the reasoning side says, oh, where did that come from? Instead of just moving into that trusting side, knowing that you're going to be working from the spiritual connection and that this is the ego side that's telling you these things.
Oh, I didn't mean it in that sense. I mean, like, I get information for people that's, like, more than I know personally. And it's like, whoa, you know, it's fun. I really enjoy it, and I just usually tell the people when I'm feeling really called to. Sometimes I'll get information that I don't feel called to share.
Let me stop you because we have 15 minutes, Nancy.
Okay.
And one of the cherubim is standing there with your record.
Okay, all right.
It's like she's pulling my arm.
Okay.
Let's see what we got here.
Okay.
Let's see what we want to find in your record.
Okay.
Well, real quick, she's showing me the cover, which means that when your soul was created, it was created under the ray of love. And that means people, well, first of all, those records, they show to me as having a brown cover. And that means that people will be happy when they are working on some aspect of serving individuals, and there would be a love of what they are doing. Like a librarian might be working from the point of view of loving literature, reading, and loving to teach it. In your case, there is the brown cover, but there is also a symbol on the outside of that brown cover, and it is a green symbol, and it is a sacred geometric shape. I'm seeing a circle, and it is dissected by, it looks like eight lines, straight lines, dissecting the circle, and behind, in the center, the lines themselves are gold, and behind that is the green, and that the green represents the healing aspect. And the round circle and the lines represents the sacred geometric shapes, meaning that the healing that you are using is through a formula and a method that was created by Source when the geometric shapes were formed by Source. So you, from your very calling, as you were called forth as a soul, you were called forth to do this kind of work. That is the first thing that they wanted you to know that is in your records. So you could have taken other routes and be happy, like I said, the love of literature, books, and so forth, but the healing aspect that is in the front of your cover has been, you might say, a trademark that you have followed through your many lifetimes. Now, the mission, I'm asking for the mission that you chose, and the mission here, they are, because I am not writing this in a report for you like I usually do when someone asks for a reading, we can't go through all the words, so what they usually do is they will take from that images, and they are showing an image of this beautiful young woman who is standing on a hill. This is back in the time of Atlantis. She is standing on the hill, and beneath her, on a lower level, are many souls. She is teaching. She is a soul who is closely connected enough to Source through vibrational energy that she understands the direction that the activities of these individuals is going to take that high elevated society and bring it down to the dense levels They didn't know how far it would fall, but they knew it would fall. And that is where we are right now in this heavier dimension. So you knew what was happening there. You came from a high plane, and you have come back today to work with the people, because these people that you will be working with today are the same souls who you saw and felt this great compassion for at understanding the demise of Atlantis. And so that is the reason why you chose this particular lifetime, because it is the culmination of this cycle. You were there, you knew in your heart what was going to happen, and you grieved over this, and you asked why did society, humanity, make the choices that they chose to lose the grandeur of this great connection that they had with Source. So what you're doing here in your work is to help people clear, to help them connect again to Source. Now let's look for a moment at the timing. What I am seeing here is there is a bit of timing in the sense that there are certain energy configurations that have not been met yet that will release you from your tether. Some people call this astrological signs, but they are saying that there are certain energies that will be coming through some of the gateways, and we have passed through one gateway with the recent eclipse. So you are moving through the necessary gateways that will help you reconnect to what you knew in the past. So much of the information that you had has been forgotten, and it is in the process of being awakened. And they are showing me that this last eclipse was of a major awakening to your memory bank. And what they are saying is that what you need to do is meditate more. You need to meditate to connect to the higher mind, that gateway which is to the soul monad, that this connection, this going within and making this connection so that you can work with your higher mind will help open you to the point where you'll be able to remember. They keep stating this and showing it to me in the records. You already know it is a case now of remembering, and so work with the meditation now to help you remember. Is that helpful for you, Nancy?
Oh, yeah. It never really struck a chord. I was shedding a few tears when you were talking about the Atlantis thing. It really hit
home. Oh, because you felt that, huh?
I felt it in a big way, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I really appreciate that. And, you know, we just completed a big additional remodel to our home, and I hadn't been able to meditate like I normally did, and it was really bothering me that I wasn't able to. After 6 years of trying to get my husband to meditate with me, he's doing it now. So,
isn't that marvelous?
So it's, you know, I guess it's all coming. It's just, I feel the feelings coming up, and I don't have really people to talk to too much about them, and so I just appreciate the connection and helping me to calm down a little bit about it.
Yes, it's a case of focus. And Nancy, if you feel so inclined, if this rings a bell to you, consider joining our conference calls.
Okay. I have done them before we started this, before the remodel got too hectic, and I would like to do them again. I really enjoyed them.
Well, it is a sense of community.
Yes, it is.
And this is what we're doing right now, is we're reaching out and we're connecting with the community. And as I am speaking, what the cherubim are giving me another image on this. It is the same image of you standing on that hill in Atlantis, but now what they're showing me is a group of your comrades who were standing with you.
Mm-hmm.
And what they are saying is that it is time now for you to reconnect with that group that you were your comrades then.
Mm-hmm.
That this is the time.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Carolyn. Really appreciate you.
Well, Nancy, like I said, if you want to come on board one time, hone up your abilities a little, we'd be glad to have you join us.
Okay. All right. That'd be great. I'll email you, Carolyn. Thank
okay,
you so
dear.
Much.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
So, my friends, we have 5 minutes, and if you are so inclined, give us a call, 877-876-5227. Nancy just gave us a call. She kind of had a little thought in her mind, and I think we were able to hone in and help her with it. You know, this is how questions evolve. They don't necessarily come with a full-blown concept of what you need to know. It's sort of like a little myth inside. You're not quite sure what it is, but, you know, it's like an engine. It's not firing on all of its pistons. It's sort of missing a little something. It's like, you know, what do I need? And for some of us, it's really hard to figure that out, because unless you're connected with the higher mind, you're not bringing this forth. Well, I'm going to stop. My next, who? What is your name, please?
Hi, my name is Tony.
Did you say Tony?
Yes, Tony.
Hi, Tony.
Hi. I spoke to you maybe a few weeks ago because I was asking if you would look at the records to see if, because I want a child, but and so you looked at the records for me. I'm wondering if I to meet somebody about how I don't know. I mean, I've been waiting for so long, or there's never been the right person.
Tony, what are you doing, dear, to find someone?
Well, I meditate and I pray, and then I take action to try to meet somebody, and
I'm not trying to rush you, but we only have like 2.5 minutes, so I'm trying to get as much for you as I can. Okay.
Yes.
Have you made a list of the, you know, when you bake a cake, you have a recipe. You've got a list of ingredients. Have you sat down and thought about the kind of person that you want to attract? In other words, someone who is patient, someone who is loving, someone who has the same interests that you have. Have you done a list like that?
Yes, I have. Yes.
Okay. They're very precise as to the kind of individual that you're looking for.
Okay.
See, that this is very important. It's almost like you're drawing a sketch. And when you get that all written down on paper, it is then time to materialize it. And by materializing the wish or the desire, we set that out to the universal consciousness to be fulfilled in, to bring that person to you. And I really want to work with this some more, Tony, and I've got like 1 minute. Do me a favor, call us on Wednesday. We'll have Charlene put this in the field for you to draw this individual to you. But from now to Wednesday, I want you to go over your list, make certain that you understand very clearly the kind of man that you want in your life. Would you do that?
Yes, I will.
Okay, do that, and then call me back on Wednesday when Charlene's here. We'll program the field. We'll put that irresistible seed in the field to bring him to you. What do you say to that?
Oh, that would be fabulous. Thank you.
Okay, dear.
Okay.
Call us back. not trying to rush, but it's like we're up to the wire.
Thank you. No problem. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Talk to you Wednesday. Thank you. Bye-bye. Bye.
So, my friends, if you are new to our work, Wednesday we have one who works with the quantum field, teaching us how to program that field and then programming it to bring forth those things that you desire. And check out the conference calls at carolynevers.com, the many books there by Archangel Michael and others. And until Wednesday, this is Carolyn Evers saying goodbye. I send my love to you and glad that you were here listening. Goodbye for now.